the quotient says, oh, the direction spanned by E are horizontal, the direction spanned by omega AB are Lorentz symmetry directions in the fiber bundle. Now we expand everything in sight in terms of just the horizontal one forms. So it's only when I write this that you actually see that you've taken a quotient. So whether I've taken a quotient or not, I write the same equations there. Yeah.
I thought, Annie, like, you just do it in your mind, I guess, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about the conformal group. I wonder, shall we pick up where we were? You guys want some Jody? Hi, welcome. Yeah, I wonder if Jody and Sam are going to be here. Maybe I should do like some overview. Don't know. They'll position us when the time comes.
I would be interested in seeing the quotient worked out a little bit more detailed in this case.
Well, what we're doing is we've got this is the Poincaré group, let's call it P. It's a 10-dimensional Lie group, so some 10-dimensional manifold. Probably a fairly regular one, right? It doesn't look this lumpy. But what we're doing is, right, we take a point in the group. Some group element, some element of the Poincaré group. And now apply Lorentz transformations to it. So, Lorentz transformations are going to boosted off, along some fixed dimensional, apply every Lorentz transformation to it. It's going to sweep out some fixed dimensional subspace. So this is actually a six dimensional copy, a copy of the six dimensional Lorentz group. It's not the Lorentz group because it probably doesn't have the identity in it, but it's some six dimensional subspace of that. So now you do that for a whole bunch of points until you've got one of those copies of the Lorentz group through every point of P.
Uh-huh.
You've just turned it into a fiber bundle. Because what you do is you choose one point from each of those, and feel free to ask questions. I'm thinking, Sam's coming too, and maybe for the conformal stuff, I'll send an overview. Hey, Pam.
Hello.
Howdy. Here we are. We're all sort of packing into this end today.
They told me that's going to be the swimsuit photoshop of the year.
Oh, dear.
That's what I think.
Right, yeah.
Maybe I'll just feel you reach this way.
Oh, this is
after
good.
After having the baby, you done the same time.
Oh.
All right. What will your government say?
What happened?
What will your government say?
Yeah.
Okay, so to answer Joe's question, taking the quotient means regarding all points on each of these copies of the Lorentz group as a single point. And what that does is it takes six dimensions out of your 10-dimensional thing, and it leaves you with some 4-dimensional collection of copies of the Lorentz group. Well, that 4-dimensional collection is space-time. Right? That becomes, we've proved that that's a manifold. And at each point of the manifold, you actually have hidden a whole copy of the Lorentz group. So when we take this quotient, all right, the fact that we're expressing everything in sight in terms of just the horizontal forms means that, okay, these basis vectors, these basis forms, lie along that manifold. They span the manifold. They form a complete one-form basis for M4, for space-time. And so we expand everything in terms of them, and that means the curvature is only curvature. Right? Remember, forms are things you integrate. So if you integrate along some curve, what happens in the curved space? Okay. What happens is, you know, you parallel transport some vector around a closed curve, and if that space is curved, that vector will come back rotated, even though you didn't rotate it. Okay, so in a plane, I carry it up, I don't rotate it, I bring it back, here it is, pointing in the same direction. I do it on a sphere, I carry it straight, I don't rotate it, I carry it down over here, I bring it back here, oops, it's rotated. It's a sign that the space is curved. So if I integrate something along a curve, take any curve in P10, in this whole space, but since I've only added curvatures that affect my integrals when I'm moving along this direction, it doesn't matter how I move up and down in the Lorentz group directions. The contribution to the rotation of a vector carried around that curve will only depend on the projection of that curve into M4. Right. So that's how the structure works. The presence of all these copies of the Lorentz group means that I can do a boost or a rotation differently at every point. Well, what is that? You know, here's my basis, and I can boost it, I can rotate it. You know, I can basically choose any orthonormal basis at each point of M4 by choosing which element of this copy of the Lorentz group that point goes through. So having those copies is what gives me essentially local coordinate invariance that we've restricted to orthonormal frame. So my symmetry is in those directions. My curvature is when I'm moving these. Okay? Other questions?
What is the Zen quotient?
Oh, the Zen quotient. Juan and Andy were observing that when you write the Cartan structure equation for the group, and we add curvatures when we allow the connection to be something different than just what you get from the group, that introduces curvature. When you write these equations, okay, these are the equations of a Riemannian geometry or with torsion of Cartan geometry, but they don't look any different than what we had with the whole group. The question is, how do I see that I've done this quotient when I'm looking at the Cartan equations? Well, you don't. It's just a Zen quotient. You think it. You believe it. You know it. But
never mind.
But it doesn't change the form of those equations until you unpack these forms, and then reality bites, and you see that it's actually a two-form in just the horizontal one form, just the horizontal base.
So those are the things you actually find out when you're doing your yoga in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So the difference is the difference between the curvature being a two form. You know, it could be a two form on UCD, UC wedge ED, plus on A, B, C, D, E. It could be something like this, and a D E, and then a half R A G C D E F omega C C with omega F E. Okay, if I were curving the Poincaré group, so these are the structure equations for the Poincaré group. That's equivalent to having the Lie algebra.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen some Lie group stuff. Cody, have you ever done Lie groups at all? Okay. They describe the symmetry, yes. Yeah. Well, don't say that.
Fine.
Okay. This is the Lie algebra of the Poincaré group. right, written in differential forms instead of vector generators, but it's totally equivalent. The integrability condition for these equations is the Jacobi identity. Right. So all of that structure is in these equations. And then what we want to do is we want something with that local structure. So we generalize the connection one form, the generators, essentially, by changing those, they no longer satisfy those equations, they satisfy something like this. Well, if that generalization is an arbitrary two form here, then I write those something like this. And I'm doing some 10-dimensional curve geometry or something. But if I've taken this quotient like this and require these curvatures to be horizontal, it means that I've limited the generalization of those connections so that really I only have curved this manifold, this quotient manifold, and the curvatures look like that. So it's at the point that we write down one of those forms that you actually see the effect of the quotient. So that's definitely right.
Actually, so I think I like the one with the quotient taken out better than the one without it, because there's one right now.
You know, we're leading up to biconformal geometry, and the curvatures look like this anyway. Even the horizontal part looks that bad.
so,
hang in there. But along with that comes some structural risk.
Not even in the class.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to you twice. The thing is, I noticed as I was trying to put up the audio files, I didn't have this over here. I didn't know which lecture went with which.
And so it
took me about 4 hours for the...
There's some long code on these things. The pictures are good, because they have a date stamp.
Right, but so do these things, but it's got the wrong date.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was listening, and I was able to fit the one you said.
Oh, really?
Send me a lecture every day or so, and I can keep up with it.
Right.
If you send it all to me at once, I'll never get it all on. I did get those two sets on, but we're gradually getting the website up. Juan takes pictures of the board every time.
It's a lot easier. Visible for us in your weekend,
So it's big practice. And he records the lecture, and we put all the files on the website. So the course website has all this stuff on it.
Only up to some Chinese
person. Yeah, well, we're missing a month right now. But we'll catch up with that. You ready?
All right, well, we're ready for some slides.
Okay.
So before you erase that,
how do you define
is there a half on that second term?
Since it's a mixed term, no. It counts double because you get these in both orders.
No.
And the anti-symmetry comes through the same, so they cancel the half.
Oh, I know. Here we go.
So it's a good question. Yeah, when you have the same form here, you need the half because you're otherwise you'd be double counting.
Here we go. Oh, sort of. Okay.
But with the next one, there really are
two. Come right back in.
So change gears. I'm going to write things on this especially in blue. Right.
Okay.
Maybe a little red.
So if
I put the pictures kind of around this one?
Yeah, you can do that. And it can also be kind of maybe across like this.
Okay.
But
you just can't.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Shall we go with pretty much what I've got up there? Does that work? So the small Venn's equation right about here. So a block of equations sort of in here.
Nothing below your belt. Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Okay. So right about there. Okay. Let me get those.
Put it out here, right?
Yeah. Okay. So. Is that going to show up all right? Is that dark enough?
If you're standing in front of me,
You might be black.
Is the blue going to, black would be darker.
You know what? It's in front of your shirt. We're probably not going to see it. So that's okay. It's okay that it's there, but.
Shall I do it in black?
You can try it. It'll be there, but it won't probably be visible.
Yeah, we've got red too.
What happens if I put red? Will any red show?
No.
That's not showing.
Right.
Let's try black.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a good one?
Let me see where I'm
going to
put
it.
Okay, Brent. Yeah. Can it move
I was going for just a general feel of the equation. Alright, is the black going to work?
Donna, can you see the black?
No, it's going to work. It's going to look great. You know what? I'm not even worried about this part down here. I'm not going to see it.
What colors?
Black, probably, and okay. something that's in motion. The arrows are good, the X's are good. And all of you, be involved with this. Be asking him questions, he can turn around and talk to you. I'm just shooting while it's going on. Would it be all right if you traded places with somebody with dark on, because the light is getting to you closest.
Oh,
and
you've
got the lightest color on.
However you want.
it is somebody in dark clothes. You'd be great. Come right here. Dark shirt. Okay.
After this, you're going to have to be a field theorist.
You're
going to have to be a field theorist after this. You're famous for your gay theory.
Yeah.
At this point.
They're going to see me and they're going to come like, my phone is going to be ringing. tomorrow morning. Okay. Will someone else?
All right.
Let's see. Either Sports Illustrated or.
Funny being
here. Yeah. Too high, Jim. We won't even go that high.
Let's see. I'm going to be back here, so we need to move this way.
I'm going to let you draw because the image is moving. But actually, it's cool while you're drawing. Okay.
Can you see that?
Yeah, but I need your face to be more toward the camera somehow.
Oh, okay. You're trying to get pictures while I do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your hands can go low too. Brent, can you lower the projection down on the wall a little bit more? Okay, Jim, you're perfect. Okay. Now come at.
I looked away, right?
Come more toward at the camera. More like your hand more. lower about chest level. Yeah, and draw something right there.
Right there. Yeah, that's what I was going to do. So
yeah, okay.
That's going to be space time right there.
You guys ask him a question.
So this is space time. This has time in it, whereas this Euclidean space we started up here doesn't. So what we've done is to go through the group symmetry, come down recognizing the symplectic structure of the 042 gauge theory. We find that we have a division into momentum and position spaces. We extract just the position spaces, and we find that we now have space-time with time, although we started with the Euclidean space that had none in it. Quick, ask another question. I ran out of things to say.
No, that's good.
And that was the answer to the how you water your plants?
So the water begins to exist somewhere in the group, but it doesn't flow until we get out of the pot. But then, the P for plant, you see, that's the flowing water into the pot. And
You look like a rock and roll star, by the way. it looks like a live show, like a rock and roll. Okay, but
I can recite the Jabberwocky in German.
No, you do not want to hear that.
That's really gone.
Yes.
You think it's over the afternoon, little bit of Bob.
It comes from the symmetry. So we start with the Euclidean space.
You should have your swimsuit on.
What do you need?
Because of my shutter speed, I can't freeze you while you're in motion.
Oh. Okay, so the theorem we proved actually starts with an arbitrary flat pseudo-Euclidean space up here. So we looked at all possibilities. You want me to look at
U? No,
I'm
projection more this way, more toward me. The projection.
Oh,
yeah,
not
sorry.
Me. Okay, I'm good here?
Other way, Brent. Go. That way. Good. Okay, good. Good, that's good. Perfect right there. Okay.
I feel like I'm on Star Trek.
Okay.
What we do is we look at the conformal gauge theory of...
Okay, what's the hand in front of the line? Sorry.
The hand in front of the... So you need, that's why you need it lower.
Yes.
Okay, so suddenly we're down here in phase space.
Okay,
and,
good.
The phase space comes automatically from... A group quotient in the conformal group of this original space. So what happens is we do a conformal gravity theory. We're gauging the conformal group of some flat space.
Can you kind of sit up a little bit and then kind of lean forward?
His arm is totally
blocking
the
light.
I've got to keep it down.
Does that work?
Is it good now?
Okay.
Want me to move?
Put your hand up on the flat space.
This one?
Yes, the one that's got the pin.
Yeah.
Now, find your light.
Take the cap off. Okay.
As they say in the theater, find your light. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, now put the pin to the board.
Yeah. Board's going to move, you know.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, good, hold. Okay, now look at what you're writing.
Okay. So.
Good. Okay. Oh, can you feel when the light is catching your eye?
This one, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So.
Okay.
You want me looking at the board?
Yeah, but actually, shoot your eyes back here at me real quick. Good. Oh. Good. All right. Now, just keep talking.
Okay. So. The
there are structures that arise from the conformal group, from the structure equations of the conformal group that are right over there behind Nathan. And the bottom one behind Nathan shows the existence of a symplectic form, which gives you phase-space structure here. This phase-space structure, the difference between position and momentum, the fact that the arena that we're moving in is a space of both position and momentum, is something that comes from the structure of the conformal group automatically. And the cool thing, and the thing that we've been able to prove as a unique result, is that we use that symplectic structure to identify position and momentum variables, and we extract the position variables, and we find we have space-time, including time. We have Minkowski space. So we've started back here with a Euclidean force space, and by doing a gravitational gauge theory of that force space, we end up with the usual picture of space-time. Time, in a sense, it emerges from the calculation. It was sort of there all along in the description, but this gives us a hope of doing some calculations relating the quantum gravity of space-time, either in this eight-dimensional phase space or clear back here in a Euclidean space where there is no time. Doing a stochastic quantum-like theory in a space with no time, it's akin to solving the stationary state Schrodinger equation. We're hoping it will get us away from some of the problems that people have run into trying to quantize in the universe with time. So there's the hope of being able to write a quantum theory of gravity here or here that we would then just extract the position coordinates to find what it predicts about space-time down here. And they're somewhere else. But that's where time comes from.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
If you learned the entire physics, now go home.
Is the first step a mapping to 042, and then...
Okay, so, all right, if this is E4, actually, this would be 051. Remember, last time we showed that the conformal group associated with Minkowski space is 042. I didn't put the S because things are going to show up backwards on here and it would just get confusing. But O is what the
402.
Yeah, well, the 4 will be funny. Yeah, it'll be some arcane mathematical symbols, you know.
Yeah.
The Celts did this. We've just dug it up and...
the reflective symmetry in Photoshop.
Yeah, right. I don't think that shows anyway in the picture. So the let me actually make like the marker should work here. So what we do is we start with really any pseudo Euclidean space. This big orthogonal thing. Whoops, I'm getting in the light up there. Is the that's representing the conformal group of that flat space. And the conformal group of a, if that Euclidean space, if it's a pseudo-Euclidean space and has, say, p spatial dimensions and q time dimensions, so that the symmetry of the Euclidean space would normally be SOPQ, the corresponding conformal group will be SOP plus 1, Q plus 1. It adds one time and one space dimension to the symmetry group of that pseudo-Euclidean space. That conformal group, because of the form of the structure equations, that conformal group always has a natural metric and symplectic form, and it induces those on this submanifold of the conformal group. This is a quotient space, just like that four-manifold over there is the quotient of the Poincaré group by the Lorentz subgroup. This is a quotient of the conformal group by a homothetic subgroup. Yes, question?
So what quotient are we taking here? With the symplectic group, or...?
Okay, the symplectic structure comes out of it. It's a pseudo-orthogonal group, right? So, it'll be probably SO51.
Oh, that's
right.
That's the gauge.
We're taking a quotient inside this group. That's the gauge group, but that's the unifying gauge group, right? That's not the That's not the quotient. So the residual symmetry is whatever we divide by. The conformal group has a Lorentz or pseudo-rotational subgroup, and it's got dilatations in it. It's those two that we take the quotient by. So this phase space is a fiber bundle. The fibers in this space are pseudo-rotations, or, you know, Lorentz transformations or their generalizations, and dilatations. Those are symmetries of this entire phase space. And we accept those as symmetries of phase space. Then the additional structure, this orthogonality and the existence of positions and momenta, are structures that come naturally from the conformal group automatically. Those structures are already in the conformal group and they're induced on the quotient manifold. So,
is there
you getting what you need here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything about right here
you can read? Yeah, sure. Right here. I could write the word time backwards. Happy physics dance. I could do the little no bar symbol. So this is...
Can you draw a Stephen Hawking's picture?
This is M4 there. And, yeah, we can draw that. So, and then we can put stars. And, you know, that's, you know, it's the existence of, like, the other dual over here in this space space. But you need my hand right about there, right?
Yes, but the second row on the end, scoot in towards center, just a little bit.
Second row,
right
behind her. Yeah, all three of you scoot a little bit more.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, now this, you know, I'll draw this for the camera. That it looks like a Z from the side. It's really an S for the scoot operator. It produces motion in this star. When you see this Venn quotienting scoot operator, you'll know what it is on the cover of the USU magazine. You know, and stars. We probably have moons out here. You notice that the star is at the end of the light cone. You know, that's really the image of a star that has come from the infinite past. I keep forgetting what I'm doing and making that nonsense.
Talk to her.
Jody, long time no see. So how's the baby?
That's
cool. Okay. Sleeping? Okay, good. And let's see. So do you want me to look at Jody or to look at the camera lens?
Look at
her. Look at Jody. Okay. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we were talking about this scoot operator. You'll see this in operation when that kid gets a little bigger. That kid will, like, scoot. Okay, in moving from here to here, that kid is going to be traveling at much faster than the speed of light. That will actually be a tachyonic child. Now, this is something that doesn't exist in this universe. Right? The thing that you look at in detail is how the time direction comes out of this picture, because it wasn't there at the start. What is it that determines these time-like directions? And what it is the momentum. So notice that this is a direct product of a momentum space and a configuration space. And so if I go to a particular value of the momentum, at that value of the momentum, there's an entire copy of space-time. There's an entire copy of space-time. Associated with that point is that particular value of the momentum.
I'm lifting you off the plexi.
Where do you want me?
That's good. It's the moving.
That's good. Good here? Yeah. Okay. All right. So the time dimension is determined by the direction of that momentum vector. Mm-hmm. So, at the same time that over in the phase space, that's a different direction. Really, the position and momentum spaces, they're both copies in Minkowski space, and so I can think of that momentum vector as some direction in the Minkowski space over here. What that means is that what happens
in fact, is that that momentum vector plays an active role in determining the direction of the light cone. So that momentum vector, in fact, always is sort of the unit time-like vector in the middle of this light cone that the light cone is then structured around. And what that means is that instead of time determining the directions that particles can go, if we just had space-time over here, you can imagine particles with four momenta in any direction here in space-time. But we only see particles that move into the future light cone or particles that move into the past light cone. The first are called particles, the second are called antiparticles. And we never see particles that have energy-momentum four vectors that point outside the light cone. All right. If, in fact, the light cone is constructed from the momentum, it's not possible to have momentum four vectors that point outside the light cone.
Is that going to have all of the information that we need in the case space, or is it something, is that what we're looking for, or?
Phase space is the arena where quantum theory is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you know, you need X and T before you can talk about really two things to build a quantum theory. You need a metric and a symplectic form. And this space, this quotient we're going to take, has both of those automatically. You know, they come from that group structure. Right? There's a killing metric, right? Built from the structure constant of the conformal group.
Okay.
Right. So this space has a metric. And this space is a quotient to that. So you can restrict the metric to this eight-dimensional space and say, well, you know, what does it look like down here? And it actually gives you something. You can do the same thing over there, but it doesn't give you anything.
So wait, we have
I don't understand what you're saying.
We have 5-1. We're getting an
eight-dimensional
space.
Right. Remember that. Right. It's a six-dimensional zero orthogonal group. How many generators in a six-dimensional space? How many rotations in a six-dimensional space?
Six.
I turned in your 6 times 5/2. Every plane. Right. How many planes are there? There are 15 planes. Right. So there are 15. That's a 15 thing. In addition to giving it to you an 8 on the letter stuff, there are 7 symmetries that we're at transformations.
Yeah.
And just,
but congratulations.
So this is a fiber bundle. I haven't drawn the fibers. There's a lot of symmetry here. We can do a lot of transformations, gauge
transformations. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what we're trying to say here.
Okay.
It's great enough. We've got motion and expression and all that, but most of it is a little bit blurry because it's dirty. So, we're going to have you stand here. We're going to have you ponder what you're doing.
Okay.
What you've looked at. But actually, you're talking to Jody and Nathan. Actually, you're not talking. But they're talking.
Nathan.
So that's the idea is that you're looking at them. I mean, they're going to talk to you.
Okay.
And you're watching them, but you're also,
My hand is here somewhere.
Yeah, your hand can be here.
I'm thoughtfully paused while I listen intently to their question.
But we're still trying to get that gleam.
So I mean, if it's a somewhat serious question, so we're not
flippant,
right?
But,
Okay, I got it down.
Just
across the from your arm, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Bring
you want
your
that?
Body a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we're going to have to call this more like a pose. More a pose.
Hey, that's okay.
That's okay. Okay.
So you should look like crazy looking figure. That's what she wants.
Yeah, but we want it to have that.
Oh, a natural way.
Okay, your hand can be moving from here to here. Not, just occasionally, I'll say, All right, go.
Okay.
So I was wondering the juice factor. And I just have to say, really, the problem is we need to figure out how this time comes into play so I can take it back out and reach the baby before she shoots off the
bed. So what you need to do is get back onto this path, like...
I need a reversal process to get back to C4.
That's actually the anti-scoot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it uses this equation over here to reverse the time evolution of the baby operator. And, sorry, I shouldn't have fallen back.
No, we're going to let them do it, but...
Yeah. Well, I
can.
Oh.
Take it out.
All right. So the anti-scoot operator is the time reverse of the evolution equations here that allows you to be going backwards in the light cone while the baby is coming forward. You just have to be careful not to collide.
So it would be like a particle antiparticle.
It could lead to annihilation, actually. So total energy production, a pure energy explosion, photons everywhere, ions come out like mad. It's just incredible when this sort of thing happens. But if you do a perturbation on the time reversal, you'll dodge and you can grab the baby as you go by.
Oh, that's a good idea. So I get back to... Or another way I could do is like get back to momentum, so you cancel the momentum, and then
you could carry the baby all the way back into the phase space, and that's probably where the baby is anyway. Babies know these things intrinsically. We have to discover them by arcane mathematical reasoning. There goes the shadow again. Sorry.
Okay.
Are we okay here?
Move your hand a little bit more. Yeah. Where it is there. More toward that corner. That's good, too. Yeah. I just want your hand a little more in front of your body instead of out like this.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So is that in front of my body there?
Yeah. But I've lost you in front of the plexiglass.
So we need to be over here, and let's see, not too much shadow, and... Okay.
Yeah, now move your hand more, like, right in front of your body.
This one?
Like you're right, yeah.
This one, like I'm...
Like you're riding right down, yeah. Like
so I'm going to add, something on this.
Now move the pin up higher, so your eyes come up, There you go, now right.
All
right. Right there.
So if I wanted to write something here.
Yeah, you want to add these two factors.
This is the B star scoot bar. It looks like a meson, except the scoot bar is not actually a quark. There is a B quark, the bottom quark, but the scoot bar, there's a strange quark. Is it a strange baby?
It does only like her suit. Doesn't like anything else.
Yeah, well, okay. So, that you could end up with a meson here. The quark-anti-quark pair gives a meson. And,
really thinking I'm watching Saturday Night Live. So, more than a physics. And I can see Russia from my house.
That's right, though. Maybe we should broadcast this weekly. Physics from the moon. Project the moon background on the board over here. And then do that. So, yeah. Ask a theorist. There you go. I like it. So, I'll put some symbol here, and we'll know that it's not really correct, because the indices won't be in the right positions or something. Let's see. Yeah, I should use only symbols that read the same forward and backward.
Yeah, this one's straight N.
Yeah, okay.
W.
So you want some motion here?
No, a little bit. Move your body. Yeah.
Oh, this way?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now look right at me, good.
Okay.
Okay. Now look right at Jody. Like, okay, so we've got a serious question, Jody.
Okay, so what if we could manipulate gravity to curve time so I could see ahead in the future before the baby started moving? And then I wouldn't have to go back.
Well, that's the kind of question that you can actually deal with within this framework. You know, if we can see where time comes from, then we can look at what can happen in this universe where we don't yet have time emerged. We can actually look at dynamics back in the bi-conformal space or up in the Euclidean version, see what configurations can happen there, and they may allow such a thing. They might allow the possibility of, you know, like an electron. What do electrons do? Electrons go forward in time or backward in time. They're pretty easy about that. Well, maybe there's a way that we can all do that.
Put your hand up about eye length.
About
eye level.
Eye length, yeah. The unit of measure here. okay, so about eye level here.
Right.
And let's say, is the light okay there?
Yeah.
All right. So,
looks great.
All right.
Okay, now look at what you're running.
So, over here?
Yeah, actually look right toward the camera. Right, looking right at toward the camera.
Toward
move your hand.
Oh, right.
There.
Write something here, like
yeah.
I'm going to
right.
color in your lens there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Baseline,
okay.
The final
so.
Frontier.
Yeah, and you can watch what you're
doing. It's like
yeah, okay, watch what I'm writing here.
Yeah.
Let's see, I wonder what I am writing. I wonder how to try.
So
Well, quantum theory and Hamiltonian dynamics are theories of what happens in phase space. Right? Quantum mechanics is totally neutral about whether you describe the Schrodinger equation in terms of momentum variables or in terms of position variables. You can write it either way. You can write mixtures of those. You can even formulate quantum mechanics directly in phase space in a way that doesn't require...
there's something
written right here on it feels like it's... I'm going to color my nose in. The Wigner distribution is a distribution in phase space that can be measured directly. It doesn't quite have the interpretation of a probability. If you integrate it over momenta, then you get the usual phase, psi probability. But it's a real theory of a real function in phase space. And so quantum mechanics can just live here perfectly happily without real modification. That's where I think we should be thinking about the dynamics of the world is in this space here.
Pause and look.
Okay. Not sure what I was saying here. The question was about, what was the question now?
Stimulus time and
predictions in phase space. Yeah, so predictions in phase space. Time over here, you know, it's, in fact, the induced metric on this space is a little funny because it's zero signature. There are four time-like and four space-like directions over in this phase space.
Just keep talking.
It's not a normal picture of just one time direction. Motion here is a different kind of thing. You know, evolution in this space could be multifaceted. You know, we need to explore what can happen when we write down a physical theory in this space. We're able in this space to write some theories, general relativity, for example. We know that if we write the simplest gravity theory in this space that we can and solve it, it describes general relativity on this one down here. We're able to reproduce the standard results here. We can reproduce Hamiltonian mechanics here. We can reproduce quantum mechanics here. We can reproduce general relativity here. We've also written down some Yang-Mills gauge theories. They turn out to be interesting. Yang-Mills gauge theories written in space-time have a Lagrangian that is the field times the dual of the field, F star F. And that star brings in the metric of space-time when you calculate the field equation. But up here, there are two ways to take that dual. You can use a star or you can use this scoot star. And depending on whether you use I'm always careful to put the lids back on these things because they dry out so badly. You have two different kinds of star in this geometry. Here you only have the usual Hodge dual, but up here you have the Hodge dual and you have a symplectic dual. Oh, that's a candid. Oh, good, thank you. You have the Hodge dual and you have the symplectic dual. And the symplectic dual replaces the metric with the symplectic form, but the symplectic form is constant. It solves as plus and minus ones all the time, as long as you choose canonical coordinates here. So you can do things with that Hodge dual that let you write Yang-Mills type equations that don't bring the metric in an anomalous way. This is going to be really nice for a gravity theory because I think we can write a Yang-Mills type theory of gravity with an R star R action that will let us prove some results about gravity in that theory that might not be so easy. Yang-Mills theories have good quantum behavior. And if we can write a Yang-Mills theory of gravity that is a true Yang-Mills theory, then there's some possibility that we can draw immediate conclusions about the goodness of that quantum theory.
Goodness gracious.
Okay,
I still have too much motion, so we're going to freeze you.
Okay, all right.
No,
that's okay. You're not a gabber. I think you're asking
questions and we keep you back. Okay, there's two things going on that this line, that's why I'm so confused.
Oh,
you need me further up. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll keep you there, and then we're just going to pose this the way we want. So I think your hands should probably be more tight in your body rather than up here. I can still see this.
Okay.
But yeah.
So
probably be there. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Now I'm just going to see. Now to do this, we just have to make it not look frozen.
So I've got to
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why
have my face be anything but this rigid.
Yes. Jody
thing.
Will
yeah.
Talk to you. Okay.
Okay.
Turn your shoulders
over. I'll come down to you, Jody.
Yeah. Put your hand even more in front of your body.
This way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And go ahead like you're actually writing. So if the pen is
So
what if you step back? Is that more comfortable if you step back away a little bit? Okay, good.
Yeah, whatever looks right.
Okay. Now Grant?
Yeah.
There's a see that yellow piece is right on his chin, so I need it to go down, probably down. Down.
Oh, I see. Over there, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, now, stare at a formula. Is there something in the way that, I can still see your eye looking up.
Which way do you want me to be looking?
I want your eyes in the light. So
oh, okay. So
Not turning your face to them. Reflection.
All
right. Good. Now, put your eyes up at the camera. Good. That's how you just ask your question.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
Now, shake it out. Put down your hand. Put it back up. With the camera. Put down your hand.
Okay, what's that?
Put down your hand.
Down?
Yeah. No, just shake it out by your side. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Make the gesture like you're writing. Good.
Okay.
Eyes here, good. Good. Do it again.
All right. So you just want some natural.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
sir, good.
Yeah. All right.
Good.
Like you're doing a break.
You can ask him a question, Jody. Okay, take that out again.
The question is, what is the question?
Yeah.
So natural motion here.
Yeah,
stop.
Good. That was good. Okay,
do that
again.
So, just a little bit.
Stop. Look at me. Good.
Okay.
Okay, right.
All right. So, it's writing something, so.
Stop. Look at me now. Good. Nice. Okay.
Yes, I know this is the same, but. We'll make it better without you guys paying for it.
Ooh!
Really?
Ooh!
Yeah, we'll get some. Thanks.
Hey, Jody, thanks.
Yes, no.
Hey, drop in any time. We're doing date theory here.
Oh, yes. I'm so
excited. I can hear you. You can barely hug.
Goodbye. I'll see you later.
Thanks.
Okay. You can speak a lot. Yeah, okay. Well, if you have to go.
Okay.
One is disappearing in the back. Is he
still there? He is.
I lost you, Juan.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna bring the baby and set her here
cool.
just so she can look.
Yeah,
know,
she can soak some of this up. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it down.
Please help.
Good.
Yeah.
How long a break is taking? We'll see how our time goes today, but it's not hard to exponentiate the generators for SO42. We've already done the Lorentz group, so I won't do that part, and the other ones just, you know, they cube, their fourth power is zero or something, so,
right. You
know, they're really pretty simple to do.
Mm-hmm.
So exponentiating the generators is easy, and we'll see that we actually get the transformations that we said we should. There are all sorts of things you could prove about the conformal group, but we'll prove a few of them. Maybe write down the killing metric, but mostly we want to get to the structure equations, and the structure equations are easy because the group is SO42, right? And we've already written, all right, remember the commutator of the M, right? You get M plus M plus M plus M, you know, the anti-symmetrizing the M. Well, what happens, I said that was good for any pseudo-orthogonal group. SO42 is a pseudo-orthogonal group. So
you're specifying what A actually is, metric.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Just let that metric be the six-dimensional metric that's preserved by SO42, and we immediately write down the structure equation in terms of those M's. And then all we have to do is break that up into some of the M's look like Lorentz transformations, and some of the M's look like translations, and some are special conformal, and some are dilatations. So we break them out that way and get a little bit different looking structure, but it's essentially that rotation group structure. So writing the structure equation, we've already done that. It's just a matter of specializing them to the particular form of our metric and the particular way we've named our generators. And from there on, we can do the gauge theory, take the quotients, you know, study what different quotients give, and, you know, do some gravity theory.
You're getting a little loose.
Louie?
Yeah. You're looking a little.
I've been on it for a while.
Yeah, a lot of. Well, thanks
for putting up with all of this.
Yeah, you've done some of this with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, if you've got some questions, we can. I don't know if we have time to exponentiate a generator or not, but we can certainly answer a question.
It would be nice to see the generators, to see how we get the generators.
Yeah, okay. Let me see, I can start that. Let's write some generators now.
Mm-hmm. Are you in terms of mixed?
Yeah, we've just derived, on Monday, we derived the linear representation for the conformal group. We found that the conformal group of spacetime is SO42. And, let me see, we introduced the six-dimensional metric, which is an Enkowski metric, and then we chose, it actually should be minus one off diagonal here, because...
we had said one before?
Yeah, we had plus one before, but remember the invariance thing we got? Actually, I was working out a different...
Were these minus or plus?
These were plus before. But notice that we have the Lorentz contraction is 2B minus twice before D5 equals 0. So they need to be minuses to get this minus.
Are we
going to
do that by Dr. Lever?
Anybody can leave whenever they need to. But other than that, Nathan will be here with questions till 6. Well, so.
Yeah,
all right. So because of this, we need those minus signs. All right. So what we want is the transformations that lead to this metric invariant. Well, we know what those look like infinitesimally. You ready? Or
yeah, in fact, with what you're writing right there, just come write it right here.
Oh.
Yeah, more, we want more on here.
Oh, okay. So,
and somebody hold down this problem. Okay,
so, let's see, and you probably want me in the light, and you don't want that shadow across my face, and stuff like that.
Right? I'm not taking pictures yet.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're looking for the generators of SO42. But do you want me to put my eyes on you?
Nope, at what you're writing. Now,
okay. Yeah.
There is a point, though,
yeah.
Where... Okay, you're not there yet.
Need me this
way,
right?
The line of the projection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we've got this metric.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Minus one. Minus one.
Oh,
yeah. One.
Yeah.
And
feel the light.
I got my computer
on myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Jason, in the back, can you get more? Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Right. Nice to see you. But no, you look good. We want you in this office. I'll be able to see you. Okay. There. Yeah. Even right more close to, yeah, there.
So, we doing okay with it here?
Yeah.
So.
Your hair looks good closer to you.
Closer
yeah.
to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to think what I can write that's going to make any sense here. But, so then we have infinitesimal generators we need. So we have to look at the transformations close
yeah,
to the identity.
Look at me while you're writing, you're writing right in front of.
Okay, so.
Yeah, move your pen over more toward your face.
So over,
yeah,
over in here.
There you go. There
so,
you go. Now look at me while you're writing. Well, I mean, like, you don't have to look at the camera, but I want you to look.
Okay.
I want your eyes.
Okay.
You got another person. Another person.
Are you sitting here?
No.
I wanted to grab a chair for you, Joel.
Okay. So, it's getting a little crowded in here. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
He looks like a genius.
Actually, your background looks perfect. Okay, just turn right now, stay still, and look at me. Now,
okay.
Move your hand down and closer in towards you. There.
Right in here? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Everybody looks great. In the back row in the white shirt, scoot over just a little bit. Yes. Okay. Everybody hold it. Good. One, two, three, hold. And on this bench, you move into the front row.
Okay.
Just move
front row.
Front
row. I'm
okay right here? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody just hold it.
All right. So.
Good.
Three.
Good. Hold. It's got this kind of pyramid thing going on.
Now, pyramid. The physics of pyramid.
How did they get those blocks up there?
Yeah.
Okay,
work.
More writing above your head over here.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you need some...
Perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
So we need...
In the background, when his arm goes up and you can no longer see this lens, get where you can see the lens, okay? And then I won't have... Yeah, I won't leave you. Okay, good. Perfect. Good. Good. Perfect. Keep going. Keep writing.
Right,
good. Good. Good.
Hey, trip back
to
quantum mechanics
this morning.
I thought that was
3.14. It is, but have you seen the paper? It's posted in the hall upstairs. Pi is now a function of time. It has evolved from
all that writing is perfect.
Early stage of the universe. Oh, okay. This is really getting busy.
Yes.
So. It started off, if we graph the value of pi, in ancient Babylon it was several parts per hundred smaller, and it has been eking up ever since. It seems to be asymptoting now to some constant value. But if we change this in the field equations for general relativity, then we'd find that ancient Babylon would have had far different curvature than the surface of the Earth does now. The gravity would have been much stronger because, remember, the gravitational constant has an 8 pi g over c to the fourth, and if pi is changed by several percent, then it really affects the interaction between matter and curvature, and so we get quite a dynamic impetus from pi here to pi today.
Okay,
we're
this is how they got
the pyramid. Sorry, guys. I can't hear.
Lots of shadows.
All right.
We okay here?
Yes.
All right.
Perfect.
Now let's talk about apple pie.
Yeah. All right. I think apple pie.
Get your hand down a little bit.
Okay. Down here.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Relax. Everybody's talking.
Well,
it's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
The writing is really what we need.
Oh, okay.
What
type of your
reading?
Okay.
No, just thinking about all of this is only for one picture, or are there going to be several pictures?
So what happened?
It's going to be the cover article on the USA Magazine. So part of it was the cover picture, and then there will be some other pictures.
Oh.
Well, you think of the diameter you shot in the article.
Right, so how often does the magazine come out?
I don't know. How often does it make? 4 a year?
And the next one is going to come out?
Yeah, when does this come out?
Soon as we're done.
Soon as they're done.
Oh, really?
No, well, we're close to it. It'll be
so
spring issue.
4:30, quarter to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it actually takes the whole day to print.
Mm. Wow.
And they run high speed presses.
How many copies do you run?
100,000, 116,000.
It goes to the alumni.
That's a lot of alumni.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where can we get it?
We'll bring some over to this apartment.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
Okay. All right. We'll make a box available.
Good.
Get up close and personal with pie here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Now, let your eyes catch my mind.
Are we getting it?
You might have to back up. Okay, now look at the words. Look more towards the camera.
Bro. Oh, look at this. Added the constant to the whole universe.
You added a constant to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a constant.
Actually, it's multiplied. So
okay, everybody freeze and stare at the camera. Hand down.
Just be your natural alien.
Yeah, it looks like one of the boards that we did in advanced DNM.
Okay, now everybody stand up and come and stand around.
Oh, no. Gather around.
So I think you could guess they were a mess.
Now, I'm so excited I cannot sit down anymore.
Yeah. And B.
Put together, just like pointing at.
Okay.
Can you write them over each other?
Like, everybody comes to the plexi.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah. All right. I don't know if we need to move that back just a little bit on it.
Stick your tongue out, like,
okay,
yeah, you need to turn it?
Yeah.
Like this? We're going to turn it.
So, you want to wind that up?
No.
What's me?
We're going to turn it horizontal.
Huh?
So you can see the
algae. Yeah. It's got to be sideways equation. Well, you never rush for it anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody around. بابای جان من الان مسئله رو میتینم به زنگ میزنم حالا بای
The hill below I wonder
Oh, I love that. Okay, now, everybody see why. You have to be more closer.
We're friends, right?
Everybody's got to get behind.
Up there, pretend it's a picture.
Even if it's death back behind.
We're going to have some death.
Yeah, I was in a class. I like to be
Nathan's a deep guy.
sit up on this table. Something that that changes this, yeah, a little bit. Okay, now, all of you, just your...
should we start fresh? We've got that as a eraser.
All right, yeah, it's in a wipe off. Okay, yeah.
Should we grab the eraser?
Yeah.
Okay, there are some whites here.
The erasers.
It's impossible. Hold these markers.
We might want to sit on the floor while we
Is it better to use the eraser? It's like a rubber
ferret. By the way, everybody looks great back there.
My old ass bed in the
same place. Yeah. Hey, Scott, I need to get into it. together with the fact that D of this expression necessarily vanishes implies the existence of this simplistic form.
Brent, turn the projection on to them. I want it off the flex.
She's wild, isn't she? Cool.
Like project it onto the plexiglass?
No,
don't stare at the
face.
Don't look over here. Don't look at the projector.
There you go. Now we're just trying to say on what Steve
now he looks like a real alien.
Um,
Okay, go ahead. Just write like crazy.
Write like crazy. Okay, so a flurry. Let's see. So now we need some
fear. Now, why is there no light on here? What's blocking?
Oh, it's good. Maybe the pole. Yeah, if I stand back, I get it. But...
Okay.
Now,
see how,
just try to keep it. Ooh. Yeah,
you want with this direction. Why, maybe come down lower, and then just... Okay,
this is
right.
Okay, so that's identically zero because d squared is zero by the Poincaré lemma.
I've got to go teach a lab, so
okay.
Still
now, from now on, everybody's eyes are up. Right now, everybody's eyes are down. So
well,
right
yeah, I'm running off the board here. I need to write something here.
I know.
Pi slash, which of course is pi over 2 pi,
And that, of course, will depend on time as well. Except that this pi and that pi cancel, so it doesn't. Which is good, because except in my calculations, I've never noticed a factor of a half, or in fact, powers of one half do come and go with time.
Isn't pi slice or gamma pi?
Gamma pi. Oh, that's the other pi slash. We need pi to be part of a vector for that. So if pi is in fact a component of a four vector, shall we say, then now pi slash is going to be pi alpha gamma alpha, and you know, this is turning into a whole lot of Greek. So if we can write it gamma alpha, mm-hmm. pi alpha, if we want to write it in the opposite order.
What happened?
Nothing. Physics has acquired a new dimension.
Like an army.
Yes.
Okay,
it's the 21st century, and you got to be ready. Torchwood is ready.
Start finding
a blank spot, and I'll put F-I-N-D, a blank spot, that would be a B-L. A and K spot. Spots are easy. Here's a spot. And this will be the spot that was blank, but it's no longer blank
now,
because I put
one,
a spot in it.
One student's coming up and writing alongside you. I mean, like talking to you about what you're writing.
All right.
Over, y'all.
Now, there's the time dependence, but it was canceled because I took pi slash. Remember, pi bar. This is the distinction I forgot to make earlier. Pi bar is going to be pi over 2 pi, of course. Pi slash mm-hmm. is what you do with the vector pi when you contract it with gamma matrices.
Okay.
So don't mix up pi bar with pi slash. This is going to be very important in the future because we just discovered that pi is time dependent.
Okay. And this is kind of contradicted to all the laws of the universe.
Well, no, the laws of the universe are really going to have to change.
Okay.
We've just done it wrong.
Good.
That just reminds me of the fact that I can see Russia from my house. That's very much the same mentality.
Do you ever visit?
I think you all need to move.
So we can see Russia, our houses.
Or
so
the laws of the universe right away.
maybe we could change pi fast enough that Alaska gets sort of sucked under the Arctic with the extra curvature. Actually, what would that do? The Einstein equation, G mu nu is kappa P mu nu. But kappa, is 8 pi g over c to the, what is it,
fourth?
C to the fourth. And the presence of a pi in that coupling constant, pi increasing with time, means that the effect of matter is increasing. And so it predicts exactly the opposite effect of what's observed. And that's too bad, because it probably refutes the theory. But if g mu now becomes a function of time through the constant kappa, then we'll very quickly fill up the space in between with excited smiley faces that have their hair standing on end. And so,
is it your alien friend?
No, it's the Einstein tensor. If we write it out in terms of the curvature, we get a r mu minus a half p mu nu times the Ricci scalar. What you need up here? You need the Einstein equation up here will be r mu minus one half g mu nu
Ricci's scalar equals kappa times.
That sounds light, though.
Fifth energy. Oh, I'm blocking the light. All right. Okay. So
can you write left?
Can I write left-handed? Oh, this should be really interesting. So if I write the Einstein equation left-handed, you see, it actually comes out with backwards Greek and legible to the camera. Because I end up writing.
Actually, no, I need to go.
Literally,
so one by one, you're losing students.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
I was waiting so much to ask you so much.
Does that work?
Okay.
You're getting what you
need. See you later.
Thank you.
Oh, sure.